This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hi, I'm Tim Bray, and this is Small Things That Matter, the show about little things that most people overlook, the quiet ideas, small actions, and the unexpected stories that make people and communities better. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Small Things That Matter. And I've got not one, but two fantastic humans with me today. And I've been looking for this all week. I've got Harmony, and she's a house lead at Aspire. And David, he's a team lead for people who are in Aspire's supported living service. Now, on the outside of their day jobs, these two don't exactly sit still. Harmony's all about community. Apparently, she cooks these massive legendary meals for family and friends. And David's a pretty dark horse. In his spare time, he's currently restoring old furniture, a coffee table, if I'm heard correctly, and he's recording his own album. That's pretty amazing stuff. So first up, welcome, guys. It's so good to have you here around the table. Now, the reason I've been hanging out to get you both in is because you manage the exact two spaces where it's really easy for someone to lose their autonomy. It's where they lose their agency, they just go through life on autopilot. And that's why I'm really interested to hear what you had to say on this. Because look, I guess things aren't always the same or what they seem on the surface. You know, we love a quiet house or a work day that looks kind of all calm and nicely neat and behaved. But sometimes that quiet routine is just that mirage that hides the fact that someone's completely frozen or unable to make a choice. So Harmony, you were telling me earlier about this new resident who shifted into one of your houses. And on paper, they were an absolute dream. They were compliant, they were ticking every box, they were following the routines, following the rules, but you noticed something that was a little bit off. They were asking permission for absolutely everything they wanted to do. What did that actually look like?
Yeah, it's really interesting because for me, work with people is also to help them out to actually feel comfortable. And when we're doing transitions between that specific person, she was living with another provider, and then she comes to us. And I believe that before she had a really structured lifestyle where she needed to ask permission to go to the loo, to make her own breakfast.
What? All so this, so she asked permission to go to the toilet in her own house.
Exactly. And that was our point. And we were like, you do not need to ask permission to go to the loo. You do not ask permission to make your breakfast. And we have been repeatedly telling her, you know, you are in your own house, just do whatever you like. Now it's all about your choices. It's all about what you want to do. You home. You want to have a quiet time, please do it. You don't need to inform staff every single small decision because we know you're safe here. We know that's your home. It's not a house. It's your home.
Wow, because, you know, I'm thinking that as staff, a quiet house makes life so much easier, though, doesn't it? Because don't you think that subconsciously we all crave compliance because it's comfortable, even when that quietness covers something a bit more of a crisis underneath that person?
Yeah. Yeah, at the beginning it looked like, you know, there was no issues, there was no stress with that person, but then with time when she felt she was comfortable, she was home, then she started relaxing, showing who she really is.
Okay.
Because I believe all of us, we do have our, you know, good and bad moments, and it's all about support. We're not going to ignore the bad moments, but also we will embrace the good and the positive moments.
Fantastic. And David, you see this exact same kind of freeze or quietness into your work as well too, just in a slightly different way, isn't it?
Yeah, I do.
So how does that overwhelm start to play out in front of you when, you know, people just don't know what to do?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept because they can get overwhelmed and becomes a bit too big for them, and I have to kind of take a step back with them and kind of look at the smaller steps.
Because you actually help people achieve their goals and things, don't you?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You walk alongside them and...
I do. So I have a few people that I work with in supported living, and they have big goals, they've got small goals, they've got some really exciting ones that they want to do, and it's all about embracing them and kind of starting with the small steps that we can then kind of achieve to get to the bigger ones.
That's really interesting. So, you know, when someone, it must be hard, because when someone looks to outside for answers to their own life, just because they don't trust their own gut, or yeah. just because they're overwhelmed, or just because they haven't got that processing power or whatever, how do you break that power dynamic without causing into total meltdown and, you know, say, you lead your own life, be on your own, but yeah. you need to actually support them as well. Like, how would... There must be a line.
It's a very delicate line, yeah. I find having conversations with them really, really helpful because we can kind of determine where they may be at in their world, the way that they see it, and we can kind of put our own heads together in a sense and navigate those steps and navigate the challenges that we might come across and find kind of more than just one opportunity or one option. We can kind of find multiple, and we might look at each individual option and discuss them and come to the consensus of like, okay, well, these ones aren't good, but this one, actually, let's look at that one. And they kind of get, they kind of realize that they have more autonomy than they realize.
And that's pretty cool. That's common yep. with both of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It's trying to help people discover their
and
own
one interesting thing that happened to me was she, one of the girls, she looked at me and she was like, oh, can I actually have chips in the sofa? And I was like, yeah, just clean after yourself afterwards, and don't tell anyone that I said that.
Hang on a sec, you can have, no, actually, you say, have chips on the sofa.
Yeah, well.
Wash your mouth out. Yikes, like that, how many rules does that break?
What a
like,
rule
that's
break.
Phenomenal. Man, like, whoa.
It's those small things where, they, you know, we all eat chips in the sofa, you know, in our own house. Why they cannot do that?
I'm glad you said chips plural.
Yeah.
Just quietly. Okay. Oh, no, that was actually awesome. So I want to push back on that, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about giving people autonomy.
Yeah.
Breaking the rules with harmony, the rule breaker, the chip rule breaker. So here's the thing I want to push back on you, though, that mm-hmm. aren't the rules there to ensure safety?
Because
we're looking at, you know, vulnerable people,
yeah.
mm. and there are rules in place and a duty of care and yeah. everything else. So how far can one chip on the couch escalate to, yeah. hang on, this person's in danger? Now, yeah. I know that's a big stretch, but
yeah.
The rules are there for a reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Small things such as chips in the sofa could be not a big issue if there's only one person at the house. However, when we talk about three different individuals that fight for food or fight for, you know, attention, that chips can be dangerous, to be honest, because let's say person A is eating the sofa, person B gets a bit aggressed or feel unsafe by any other trigger, and that person can scare the person that's eating it in the sofa, and that could cause choking or any other risks.
So it's about knowing, about assessing before. It's not yeah. just about throwing the rule book out.
Exactly.
It's about going,
it's
okay.
It's knowing where can you break the rule and what rule can you break.
And are they arbitrary rules
exactly.
or are they or personal preference?
Yeah. Or can I actually break that rule and have no harm at all?
So here's the thing. Mm. And I was debating whether to get a bit controversial here, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, you're giving me license now that you're breaking the rules. So I thought, why not?
It's more like assessing safe
yeah.
risks.
No. We're just messing with you all here. So here's my question. Do you think then, mm-hmm. that our presence as support staff is the very thing that holds people back. Mm.
Sometimes it is. I can easily see that. Mm. We've got people that comes to shift with that authority and that, like, I'm here, you gotta do what you gotta do. And sometimes it's all about, you know, I'm here to support. Let me know if you need anything. I'm here to oversee a certain situation, not the small day-to-day life. Because there are small things such as, like, you know, making your own choice. What are you going to have for lunch? Staff doesn't need to decide what they're going to have for lunch. Staff doesn't need to decide if it is time for quiet time now or at 5 o'clock, you know. That should be the individual's choice. Mm. And that's what makes a home.
A home.
For sure.
A home, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, what do you think of that, David? Is that...
Yeah, it's an interesting premise because there is a range and a diversity in staff, and there's a range and diversity in people that we support. And so, yeah, the dynamics are going to play on each other. Mm. They're definitely going to play on each other. And it's finding ways for staff, when they come in on shift, to just know... just to know that, you know, they might come into absolutely anything that day, but they're there to support. And yeah,
and there's one of the things, like I think I've mentioned to listeners already, that I work for Foundation, and I've been there for a little while now, but it seems to be this. They tend to hire well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the key. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key because I've seen in other roles that I've had with other companies out of the sector that sometimes in a caring role, whether that be a caregiver for the aged or whatever, specifically, I'm thinking of this example, where some people who choose to be caregivers are doing it for good reasons, but it's part of their healing journey, and they're dividing that they are getting their identity from the love other people get back while they help them, which is not a good recipe, really, because I think to myself, well, that's good when you get the love back, but when you don't get the love back,
what do you
that's
do?
That's transactional.
Or you've got a grumpy old man that's kind of like being inappropriate. You don't want to give the love back, whereas a support worker that's secure in who they are can actually choose to still support them in those moments as well, too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And it's also about, you know, not taking it personal. Mm. If the person's having a bad day or a bad moment, it doesn't define who they are. It just defines the moment itself.
Just the moment.
Yeah. Mm. And we all have bad days at the end of the day. We all times that we will make mistakes, but we need to learn from them and, you know, move forward.
Yeah. And finding ways to deal with it too is helpful, you know.
And it's part of adult life.
Yeah.
And it's part of independence.
And that's really interesting because I was thinking before the podcast and preparing for this, one of the questions that come through myself is that we all want people or even our own lives to have this upward trajectory. We think the graph goes up and to the right. Mm-hmm. I go to the gym and I work out, I get bigger muscles, I get lean, or, you know, I'm a runner, so I get faster and I get longer, I can go longer and everything else. But it doesn't work like that because there's injuries. Yeah, there's process and there's injuries and there's there's rest days and there's days that this morning I didn't want to get out of bed.
Exactly.
And there's things like that. And I suppose that if we aim in terms of the people we support for compliance and that quiet life, we actually rob them of those friction in the middle of the process. Whereas, how do I deal with not getting out of bed? Exactly. You know, when I don't, I have to get out of bed, but I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing them to experience that kind of friction in a safe way, of course, because that's how people learn.
Absolutely.
Because I know that when I cross the finish line in a few races, I get a medal. I don't actually learn anything then. I actually learn it in the way back, you know, in the hard time when people aren't looking at 5 in the morning or whatever.
Exactly.
But it sounds like that's kind of the things that you do, and that's when I looked at Aspire, you know, first coming in with fresh eyes, I was really appreciative. I thought, you know, that there are people that genuinely care but have that life experience to know the difference between, hey, I just want compliance, and B, I'll let this go because I know that that's going to be better for you, but safe for everyone else as well too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, sitting back and listening to you both, we've been pretty deep here, by the way. It's so clear that listening to your answers, it must take, or your work, for instance, must take a huge, huge amount of patience.
Oh, it does.
And, it does.
But yeah, but interesting. But looking at that, your hobbies like cooking for a large group of people, it takes time.
It does.
You can't just like I know I was learning to cook korma. Few weeks back, right?
Yeah.
And you can't rush the browning of the onion. You can't just fry the onions and go, oh, yeah, that's cool, because it's all like rubbish.
It's all about process.
Absolutely. And that's why they say heart.
Exactly.
Right? The stumps.
Yeah.
And, David, you know, you're recycling and you're upcycling this old furniture. You can't just throw on some real industrial grade paint stripper and go, just to get it done faster, because it just ruins it, don't
it? It would, yeah.
So, what does that look like? Do you think that patience comes out of who you are, and it's who you are at work and who you are in your daytime, or do you think that patience is something you've learned over the time?
I think it's a bit of, you know, nature versus nurture. I think it's a bit of both. I think you do learn it, but I think you also do kind of have it as well. It's one where it's like yin and yang. They're kind of symbiotic.
Mm.
You know, they're both kind of that level of, okay, every day I'm going to learn to be a bit more patient, but at the same time, I still have that quality to begin with.
Mm.
And I think it's quite good, because patience is a virtue.
It's a
patience
virtue,
is something that you need in most areas of your life.
Or cliche one tip.
Yeah, you know, relationships and you know, we deal with people, so you've got to have patience.
Yeah, for me, my point of view, I do think you have to have patience in your heart, because if you do not have patience, you cannot be working with people, because people will be different, people will be challenging you, they will be triggering you. So it's important to put your own self back and say, look, I'm in that situation, what can I do to support help that person? I'm talking about support. I'm talking about sometimes when things doesn't go well, when you are cooking for a large amount of people.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah. So how can I better manage that situation?
Well, I was gonna ask you there about actually the cooking.
Cooking. Uh-huh.
It was because, you know, it's one thing to cook.
Yeah.
And have love and to cook with love, and we've talked a little bit about the slower process. It's another thing to cook for a larger group, because that adds that
pressure.
It's the same thing, but it just adds that stress to it, and everyone's watching you. Of
absolutely.
So,
and trying the food and all, like.
Exactly. So, what is the secret ingredients? You know, when you're cooking for family and you're cooking for friends, and it's all about relationship and community, right? What's the secret ingredients that you bring to the table?
Yeah.
That could be brought to houses. You know, in terms of with people we support, you know, because that love and that community, and that when people are, their guards down, they're just kind of enjoying company, and food's that kind of that vehicle, they do that. How could that be brought into the houses and stuff? And I'm not saying it's not there now, because I've been to the house and it definitely is there, but
I think, I think it could be actually you putting your heart into what you're doing.
Yep.
And you dealing with things as it goes. Because to cook for a large amount of people, I've cooked for 100, 150 people before, something called feijoada.
150 people?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Check.
And it is a Brazilian food, but I had so many problems on the way while I was cooking. So the stove stopped working. It didn't taste as good as I expected. So I think it's all about aligning your expectations and understanding that sometimes it's not going to be perfect. you're going to have that expectation. You're going to walk into the house and everyone will be happy all the time. That the atmosphere will be amazing. You know, everyone will be talking to each other. And when you get there, maybe it's not going to be like that. Maybe you're going to create that new environment. Or maybe on that day, it's just going to be a quiet time, a quiet day. I think it's all about aligning experience, align expectations, and let things flow.
So why, and David, I'll put this to you, because we don't want to go. I don't want to go near Harmony's too now. I'm a bit
cooking for 150 people.
I'm a bit afraid now.
No complaints, by the way.
Exactly. So why do you think then, in terms of the cooking thing with different expectations and things, we put such high expectations on people sometimes, other people, when we know ourselves, we need to sometimes give ourselves a break and say, hey, it's a work in progress.
Be gracious.
But for others that sometimes you put the nail on the head actually when you said be gracious.
Yeah.
We're not as gracious with others sometimes that we are for ourselves.
That we should be.
So what do you think of that?
I think it is one of those things. Sometimes you can forget to be gracious and give that grace when it comes to those types of expectations. It's like, okay, well, you've got this goal. We should be done in 2 months, you know?
Check.
But then, check. Tick that off the list. But ultimately, it doesn't work like that. And I think, sometimes we do have to remind ourselves and reflect on our practices to really get a deeper understanding of how we're having an impact on the people that we support and how we can improve our practice and ourselves to better their lives.
That's actually really kind of a mature outlook on that, really, too, saying, we're not the model of perfection. We're a work in progress ourselves.
Yeah.
But our heart's there. We want to do a good job. We want to support the people well. And we're going to get better.
Yeah.
And also allowing space to so mistakes can happen, know? So people can make mistakes. They are allowed to make mistakes. They are allowed to do it wrong, or they are allowed to change the goal. Some people will be like, I want to cook. But when they started cooking, they actually don't like it. Or they will try, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, and they're like, that's not my thing, but I love to make coffee, Actually, so it's allowing them to explore.
Yeah, actually, that was interesting because when you said that, at Foundation, we do this employment stream, and then a lot of people come in to see me and say, oh, Tim, I want a job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you want a job. What would you like to do? I don't know. So one of the things we do, rather than look at Seek or Trade Me, we take tours of workplaces so they can see actually what the real work looks like. More often than not, when they finish the tour, they go,
not for me.
But that is really cool, allowing that space to say no is just as good as a yes, because it frees that load and say, okay, now I know what I don't like. Exactly. This goal might be, I don't actually want the goal anymore, but they've actually had time to think about it, process it, try a bit, and then realise, well, it's time. And that is real freeing itself, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, with the autonomy.
Yeah, and that friction in the middle, isn't it, that where the messiness happens.
Yeah.
And I suppose as support staff, it's allowing that messiness while still keeping safety.
Exactly.
And an order, things, we need to do things properly, of course, but being kind.
Yeah.
And allowing
kind
it to.
Kind during the process.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key.
And that's the hard part, isn't it? And that comes down to the person, isn't it?
Yeah.
The individual person. So, wow. So, hearing you both talk about this and thinking about the people who are listening right now who aren't in the disability sector, they've got kids, partners, they're employees. Where do you think we accidentally manage people we love through a checklist or arbitrary rules, instead of actually connecting with them and allowing them to grow in their own terms?
That's a really, really deep question.
It is deep, and it's a big one.
It is a good one, actually.
Sorry, we had this whole lighthearted answer, and now I go, bang, I just dropped the hammer on you both.
Yeah, brilliant. That's okay. I think it's... It's allowing them to be an individual, you know, allowing them to show who they really are without you telling, you know, without having that to-do list or without having too much expectations. It's just...
Or putting words in their
mouth. Or putting words in their mouth. Or putting plans and goals that they don't really, you know, they don't really... They never thought about it or they don't really like to do it. I think it's about allowing the person to be themselves. Like with children, I don't have any children, but I've got nieces and nephews. So I see my sisters sometimes dealing with them and I'm like, is that what you want or is that what they want? Like birthday parties, for example, we see many, many parents
judging. I just had a flashback then. Sorry.
And they decide, okay, I want this theme. I want the party to be in that way. But when you stop and ask the kid, what would you like? Oh, I want a pool party, but my mom is planning, I don't know, a party at the beach, you know?
Mm.
But the kid was like actually wanting a pool party. Have you stopped and check what they want to be or what they want to do? Are you allowing them to make choices? I think that's the point, I would say.
Yeah, having those small conversations with them.
Small conversations. Because we need to do that with people with disability, with people that we support. I think if we can extend that, like into relationships, into family ship, and, you know, parenthood? Is that how it's
parenthood, said? Yeah.
Parenthood. I think it would be, I think children would be more, would have much more freedom. Mm. Your partner would have much more freedom. You know, your friends would have much more freedom.
Yeah. Confidence to be able to ask the things that they want or need.
And confidence to be who they really are.
Yeah.
So if they don't want to party at all, okay, let's just sit together.
Oh, sure. So, you know? So it's kind of like allowing people... with that space within the relationship, mm-hmm. within the support, to live life on their own terms.
Exactly.
While we come alongside them, we support with them, we walk with them, we allow them sometimes in a safe way to fail or to fall down. And that's just an expression of, I think, the grace. That's an expression of actually really loving them, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's a massive reminder to all of us. 1 minute, you've got someone treating their own home like a service facility. You step back, you clear the decks, you clear the noise, and suddenly they're living life on their own.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible insights today. David and Howdy, seriously, thank you so much for coming on.
Join me again for another conversation next week, and you can listen to any past episodes on your favourite podcasting platform. I'm Tim Bray, and this is Small Things That Matter. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.